Monaco. Good to see you, brother.
Great to see you across the world.
I know, and the weatherman was wrong this week, wasn't he?
It came to have been perfect.
Oh, man, this is great. This is perfect. We're all expecting rain all week, and here we are, and it's just blue skies and cool, no humidity. The air conditioning's on outside.
I know. I love it. That crisp air at nighttime has been perfect,
Florida
too.
Boys are being spoiled right now.
Exactly.
Right. So welcome to a special edition of Yachting USA. This is an unexpected but wonderful pleasure, and you kind of surprised me a little bit because I think we're flipping the script.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. So let's have some fun with this. First of all, Dockside Pros, that's your business.
Yeah.
Just remind us, everybody, you're a primarily online business providing a whole suite of services. What's your quick pitch on that?
I've owned a marketing agency for 11 years and worked at Google in 2013 as an agency account manager. And so I got really good at working with all the different types of industries over the years. And a lot of industries I just really wasn't too passionate about. I've been on the water in Fort Lauderdale for about five boats in the last 10 years on the water, and I love boating. I love fishing. I love just anything out in the water. It's what I love to do. And so I was like, let me make a career around that, bring my marketing expertise and my skills together to be able to promote businesses in the maritime industry. So we have about 100 partners in all different services, and we're looking to expand globally to be able to, you know, it is a global industry, so that's why we're here.
That's why we're on this side of the pond, right?
Exactly.
I love that. It's a great business. You and I have connected earlier this year, and what a treat it was to really get to know you personally and see how you've built your businesses and your passion for boating.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think it comes down to that in the yachting industry. This is a people business. It's a passionate business. That's what attracts so many people. I think that's what keeps so many people in our industry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of, we're enjoying the hospitality of the south of France, and look what we have here.
Oh, there we go.
Merci beaucoup.
Avec plaisir, monsieur. And for you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Salute, my friend.
Salute.
Cheers.
So let's do this.
And I love, the networking at the boat shows, these are my people. I mean, I connect with them very well. It's just, we have the same mindset, and it's cool because there's all different types of services in the maritime industry, and it's great. I love it.
It is. It's what I like about it, too. There's something for everybody. If you've got an idea, if you've got a set of services or a product that you think is suitable and can stand the scrutiny and test of time, bring it.
Exactly. So let me ask you a few questions here. So what are the origins of Yachting USA? How did you get in this?
Well, had you been at this boat show when I was here in 2023,
okay,
and had walked up to me on the dock and said, hey, Rick, you're going to have an amazing podcast program, and you're going to be connecting to the people around the world. You're going to be telling amazing, incredible stories, you know, in the next couple of years. I'd have looked you in the eye and say, you're crazy. What are you talking about? You know, I was doing a different gig at the time and enjoying that and wasn't really thinking about reinvention. But then I did an interview shortly, well, it was right after FLIBS 2 years ago with Rhea Rao, the producer of Yachting International Radio.
Wonderful lady.
She is. She's a wonderful lady and a wonderful producer. And we did she interviewed me for a podcast just for her own purposes. And it was, I'll never forget it. It was the next day. Every morning I walk my dog 4.5 miles, about 8 kilometers. It's how I start my day. It's just our routine. It's a great way to just kind of get your head into the game and get a little exercise at the same time. And I received this phone call on WhatsApp from Rhea. And I'll never forget it. She said, Rick, I want your effing voice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. And that started a conversation, and I'm glad it did because I hadn't really given it much thought. But in reflection, I've been in the industry for almost 40 years.
Okay.
I've traveled the world in that period of time, developing equipment and working on new builds and refits around the world. In that period of time, I've made a lot of friendships, met a lot of people, been involved in hundreds, if not thousands, of new builds, hundreds of refit projects, some interesting concept projects that never got off the ground, but we were involved in developing or talking about integrated equipment and things that brought us into that conversation, into that space. And so when I decided that I would step in and do something with Rhea, it immediately struck me that the voice that's not being heard right now is the voice of business. Okay. Everybody is talking about the glitz and the glam and the red carpet.
So
and,
true.
You know, the walkthroughs and, you know, the man on the street kind of thing. Nobody's sitting down having serious conversations about the business of yachting.
So true.
You know, where'd we come from? Where are we going? How did North America lose so much of our boat building culture? What happened there? What's the cautionary tale? How do we come back from it?
The innovation.
The innovations and the new voices, the new ideas, the young people coming in, the crew spaces.
The issues
and
as
the
well,
issues.
Too.
That was the crew piece and the issues and all the things that could and should be fixed that start with awareness and intention. And I found my voice.
Yeah.
And this week, we're recording our 90th episode of Yachting USA. And these are all what I call my inner Joe Rogan being channeled, because these are conversational, long format conversations. So they're not the quick 5-10 minute, you know, the fluffy stuff, surface level stuff. But we really do a deep dive. We go down a bunch of rabbit holes. We talk about what we want to talk about. Oftentimes, it becomes fascinating.
Yeah. Well, let's... In terms of fascinating, what are some of your favorite things in the industry? Why this industry of all industries specifically?
Well, for those that know, I grew up in a maritime culture. As a kid, my dad was manufacturing equipment that you put in your backyard for lifting boats.
Okay.
And so at 15, 16, the age my son, my youngest son, Tristan, who's behind the cameras today, was, I was learning to weld and work with machinery and help him on my off time from school and with his business. And then I have a passion for diving, and I went to college and I got a degree in underwater technology from FIT, and that sent me into the Gulf of Mexico. And for 4 years, I was a commercial diver doing saturation diving and bell bounce diving and, you know, oil field diving, which was my experience working offshore for months at a time in confined small spaces. And then when I rotated out of the Gulf and I came back to Florida, circumstances got me back with my dad, and I started a little company called Nautical Structures that grew into a big company called Nautical Structures.
Big company,
And that's how I met the yachting industry. When I started at 25 years old, almost 26 years old, I didn't know what I didn't know. I had no clue about the yachting industry. I just had people saying, we need a kind of product like this. Could you build this?
Yeah,
I can build this. You know, and then that scaled, and I started traveling the world, and next thing you know, you got a business, and here you are 30-some years later, and...
Well, I'm sure things have changed quite a bit. I mean, over the last 37 years or so, I mean, obviously the boats are getting bigger and bigger. They're not getting any smaller, so what are some of the other things that you've noticed that have major changes over the years?
Wow. Well, technology. You know, when we were in it initially... You know, MTU and Detroit's DDEX system for engine control was big technology. That was a big deal. You know, there was no, well, I take that back. That's when John Stalupi was having Frank Mulder design Octopussy and integrating MTU with Kamiwa jets and jet and gas turbine engines for setting world speed records. And that was kind of fun to watch happen. And you saw back when I was in the business, Broward Marine was really kicking it, and Berger Boat and Palmer Johnson was really scaling, and Christensen was building a lot of boats, and Delta, who are still building a lot of boats, and you could go on and on. There was over 40 shipyards in North America building crew serve yachts when I started in the business. And then I was coming over to this part of the world, and there was no competition at the time. So we were able to build our cranes and davits and gangways and supply the European shipyards, because really we only had Åkerboom and then eventually Crom as competitors. So for a decade and a half or so, it was a great opportunity to conceptually design, develop, build, and deliver high-end yacht equipment. So what I've seen change in that period of time is the U.S. market has dropped off. There's very few yacht builders left. There are predominantly here in Europe and Turkey, a little bit in Asia. And we're seeing interesting technologies. We're seeing zero emission vessels.
Yeah.
We're seeing hybrid propulsion technologies.
Yep.
Whether it's LNG, diesel electric, hydrogen hybrid, like we just saw in Breakthrough recently. So we're seeing technologies that 20, 30 years ago you would conceptualize. But you weren't seeing it happen in real time.
And sustainability,
sustainability is
so important now as well, too.
It's important.
You know, and it is, too. So you said you're on 90 episodes. So that's very impressive in a short period of time, too. So how do you choose the topics or the guests?
I put it in the universe.
Yeah, there's a vast variety of different, very interesting.
I've been blessed with having some amazing voices jump on this show with me, and maybe that's my gift in that I have built these personal relationships. So even if the person I want to talk to, I don't have a direct personal relationship, I know somebody that knows somebody that says, hey, you should talk to this guy, Rick.
Yeah.
But most of the time, I know these people. Like, I interviewed Dick Van Lent here yesterday.
Yep.
I met him 30-plus years ago when I was building davits and cranes, and I was occasionally supplying FedShip. And we'd show up at these industry events. We became friends in the industry, so to speak. And we watched each other's career build and grow. And so yesterday, we spent almost an hour talking about FedShip and his history. And so that's going to be great for people to get to know Dick Van Lent personally, going way back to when he was 5 years old. He talks about what he did docks at 5 years old. And here he is now as an ambassador for the brand. And I can take you down. Comer Dahman and I sat down with, and he's in his early 80s, and what a story he has to tell, taking Dahman Shipyards and then Amul's Yachts. I interviewed his daughter, Rose Dahman. Remarkable. I had a 90-minute conversation with Pat Healy of Viking, another gentleman I've dealt business with for 30-some years, and getting his voice. And I could just go on and on 80 more times with incredibly interesting people. Or sometimes I'll be introduced to somebody I've never met before, but their story is so compelling, or their experience or their product is so interesting or unique that it's like, we got to get this on camera. We have to talk about this. I went to Mexico a few weeks ago and interviewed Ellie Fisher, 10 years in the yachting industry as head of department, senior crew, loves yachting, has been out for 4 years. Her NDAs have expired, but we spoke for almost 2 hours about her yachting career as crew, the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and the good and the bad and the ugly, and things that need to be heard in this industry about crew and crew health and crew culture and how we need to and can do better.
Exactly.
And those are conversations that need to happen more and more.
Like you said, it's all about the glitz and glamour, but you know, you really have to figure out, talk about those hard questions and hard topics to be able to improve and to be able to learn from.
Absolutely. It's important. It's great.
It is. But, you know, I love traveling. I love, you know, yachting, like I mentioned as well, too. And that's why I love this industry, because it is a global industry. And, you know, we're here in Monaco. We'll be back in Fort Lauderdale in a few weeks here. And
that's right.
You know, the yachting season's just getting started, too. What's your favorite boat show?
I think my favorite boat show right now is Palm Beach.
I agree.
And no digs against the Monaco Yacht Show. This is an amazing show to come to, and I've been coming here for over 2 decades. But this is a great show. But I think Palm Beach is a nice cross-section of South Florida. You get the Monaco vibe to a certain extent. It's a more high-end, more elegantarian show.
Yeah.
It's not Fort Lauderdale. It's not Flibs. It's not Miami. You know,
the happy medium between everything.
Right. It's a great, the industry comes across the pond. A lot of the people you see here in the south of France will be in Palm Beach in March.
Of course.
And we'll have similar weather.
Yeah.
And we'll have interesting conversations, and it's great, and it's right in our own backyard.
Exactly. You know, and it's cool, too. I love being able to travel, and I mean, all the big boats, in the summertime in Florida, it just gets so hot. You know, if I could go and choose, I'd be living in the Med or in Spain for in the summertime, and then Florida the rest of the year. I mean, question for you. I mean, I know you've traveled a lot. You know, where, if you didn't live in Florida, where in the world would you live if you had the same life, family, everything around?
Where would I go? Yeah.
Put you on the spot there.
No, that's a really good question, because I've seen so much of the world. I feel blessed, and, you know, I've seen such a lifestyle. It'd have to be coastal. I can't be too far from the ocean. I've come to that realization that, you know, the ocean is in my DNA. It's in my blood. You know, we have the same salinity. So, you know, we're all connected to the ocean. I think probably if I could find a quiet spot in the Caribbean where I could just set anchor and, you know, kind of find a little quiet place to just, you know, go diving in the morning and walking in the afternoon and, you know, eat healthy and spend some time with my loved ones. That would be, for me, you know, a nice finish to an incredible career and nice life.
I would agree with that as well too. I love Mallorca, Spain. I was there and about last year, and then this year in June I was in Marbella and with the family. And yeah, I'm from Minnesota originally, and you know, it's land of 10,000 lakes, so I could drive it 5 miles in any direction and be on a different lake. And my dad, you know, taught me boating when I was 10, 11 years old, you know, drive my first boat, and I've loved it ever since. But it was just so cold. And so,
you know, when you ask the question too, Jeremy, I'm thinking, I've spent some time in New Zealand on the North Island. I love the people there. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. I love sheep. I've been to Turkey a lot. The Turkish people are incredible. It's a beautiful country, so much history, and I'm a huge student of history, and you know, I could be immersed there. And I've spent a lot of time in the Netherlands in my career, and again, I love the people, I love the culture, you know. And I've been to Mallorca, and I've been to Malta, and you know, I've been to Asia, and they're all beautiful in their own right places. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I think it's no place like home in a way.
Yeah, and well, and it's close to the home as well, too.
That's right.
In the States as well, too. But so, you've been doing this a long time, and you know, over 37 years. Who are some of the people that mentored you or inspired you or you've learned from over the years?
I've been really blessed in that. One of the first that comes to mind is a naval architect by the name of Doug Sharp.
Okay.
He was at one time the president of the ISS, International Superyacht Society. He's based
in
San Diego.
Well,
I remember he and his wife Caroline would come here to the Monica show. He'd stay down in Cap Dye, and this was always one of our fun places to get together. But he was around in some of the darker times at Nautical Structures in my struggle. I'll never forget. He sent me a book called Who Moved My Cheese?
Okay. I actually read that book.
You know, if you ever
it's
an easy read. You ever hit a hard spot in your career or life, read that book.
That is a great
book. You know, I'll never forget that. That just dropped in my lap. You know, I've had Bob Saxon has been a wonderful mentor to me. Michael Moore has been a wonderful advocate and mentor of mine in many ways. Wow. I mean, I think if you really are paying attention, you have different seasons of your career, and it seems like there are people who have come into every season of my career, even my previous business partner, with as much drama as that happens when you're a partner in a business for 25 years together. I still love Mr. Bob Boleyn, and I've learned a lot of business through him. Not always easy, but at the end of the day, we achieved what we wanted to achieve, and we did it together, and we figured out how to get through the hard places. You know, and right now in my own life, one of my biggest mentors is my fiance and my lover, who has been through some hard times with me, and she's helped me understand the power of staying with it and not giving up and holding on to something precious.
Yes.
So these are all things that kind of come in together to create the strength you need to achieve and be the best version of yourself that you can be.
I agree with that. So what would you personally like to see fixed or changed in the industry?
That's easy for me.
Okay.
That's easy for me. I've been involved in this conversation for a long time. I remember in my yacht management work a couple years ago, we brought on a boat. Client wanted to put it in charter. Not a big boat, 76-meter boat. And we looked at the crew spaces, and it was stupid. I mean, and this boat was going to be in charter and, you know, monetizing itself. And they needed four crew. They had accommodations for three. They were going to shoehorn in a fourth person. And, you know, prior to that, I've been around other crew in my career. I've talked to lots of crew and captains. I've got personally good friends who are captains. But that was eye-opening when I realized that we're going to try to put this boat in charter and make it successful with such horrible limited resources and capacity. And as I spend more time and focus in our industry and we talk about what's happening with the crew, mental health, being aware of the high stresses that happen in the crew environment.
It's not all glitz and glamour like Below Deck.
You know, Jeremy, it's not. You know, and as much criticism as you can throw at Below Deck, the one thing it does highlight is the stress and tensions that can happen. Now, you know, Below Deck is only a four-day charter,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And it's not scripted, but it's limited, mm-hmm. you know, and so you're getting drama and you're getting bits and pieces of what really happens. But imagine you've got a boat, say, in the 60 or 70 meter range, and now you've got 18 people on this boat, and you know, that's really, when you're on the ocean, that's a small space you're all occupying together, and they're from cultures around the world, and they're living on top of each other, and there's no second shift, and so they're 24/7 this boat's operating, mm-hmm. and someone's up on watch and attending to the guests' needs and attending to the vessel's needs and dealing with the issues that come up, and it doesn't stop. And how do you deal with the stress? How do you and then of course we're connected to the world with these. Okay.
Yeah.
So then you add in all the external that comes in from back at home and things that when I was offshore, we didn't have that. Leave and we go offshore and we didn't know what was happening until 2 weeks or 2 months later.
Yeah.
We were back on the beach.
Sure.
And then you deal with whatever's
There's
waiting for
There's a lot of stress
you.
In that too.
It is more than most people understand, appreciate. And that's my answer to your question is, what we need to do as an industry is holistically from the bottom up. And I mean, what I mean by bottom up, we need to look at how boats are built.
Okay.
What spaces are allocated for crew. I'm the first guy to say is if you're able to find new technologies that allow the engines to be smaller and the engineering spaces to get smaller, take the space that you found and give it back to the crew. Don't give it to the owner. Don't give it to the guests. Give it to the crew. You know, we're doing a great job of creating beach clubs and fold-down terraces and bulwarks and enhanced outdoor living spaces. And
All the amenities, it's gorgeous.
We're doing a wonderful job as an industry. The naval architecture and design work that's in going to these new boats is spectacular. I was on the Majesty 100 2 days ago for a 100-foot boat. Incredible how much space they've created on that boat. It's just good design. Now we need to put more effort into crew space.
Happy crew, you know, better charter. I mean, and also I think, you know, the programs, the lifestyle for that crew as well, too, and being able to, you know, have them be healthy, have them, you know, just have more resources.
So what you're touching on is so important, Jeremy, because, well, first of all, if you go to most of the marinas now and the refit facilities, you've seen they're putting in crew amenities.
Yeah.
You know, they've got clubhouses and they've got pools and they've got recreational areas and they've got resources for internet and connectivity and all of that. There's gyms and that. There's a couple ways to deal with stress, right?
Yeah.
You can go work out, you can meditate, you can pray, or you can go to the pub, you can go to the bar, you can drink, you can do lines of coke, you can do all this other stuff, you know, to de-stress. And unfortunately, most young crew, when they're off duty, they're in the quick turnaround between charters or whatever that looks like, that's when the bad choices happen.
Yeah.
And we need to do a better job of providing better choices, better circumstances. The interview I did in Mexico a few weeks ago with Ellie Fisher, I mentioned earlier, in her tenure. That worked out real well, right? She talks about that, you know, and she's quite open about the culture of sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
And it leads to a lot of stresses and mental health, and you know, there's suicides that happen on these boats, and there's murders that happen on these boats, and there's sexual abuse and physical abuse. And society has this in every part of society. You can't exclude it. You can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
But you can pay attention to it. You can create better resources for how you deal with that. There needs to be opportunities for asking for help and actually getting help. And so our industry, I think, as we are looking at green zero emission technologies, we're looking at propulsion technologies, we're looking at, you know, new materials for manufacturing, which is something that Dick Finlent and I talked about yesterday, which is kind of cool. All of that's good stuff. Concurrent with that, we need to be looking at how we do crew. Like when I was on board Breakthrough in November last year in Amsterdam, the 119-meter Van Lent Fed ship that was built with the hydrogen hybrid technology, what impressed me more than anything else in that boat two decks of crew accommodations.
Okay.
Two decks of crew accommodations. You open up the crew staterooms. You can do Pilates in either one of those rooms.
Yeah.
You have a lot of living space. You've got a lot of room to escape and live a higher standard when you're off shift, when you're off duty. Well, you're always on duty. The radio is still there. You know, you can be called to duty at any moment. But the circumstances you're living and existing in are better. Now, 119-meter boat, yeah, you have the luxury of space.
Yeah.
You can do that. So now we challenge the naval architects to say, okay, on 119-foot boat, how do you do the same thing?
Sure.
How do you find that space? How do you create that environment that is more conducive for crew? And so that's maybe the challenge I throw out to the yachting industry in the next decade. You know, start looking through a different set of eyes and see if we can't, because we know what, when you bring the crew up, the owner's experience comes up with it.
Yeah, I agree. That's where I was going to lead to, and that's part of it, you know. It's all about not only the charters, but the sales side of things, too. It's if, you know, you want the crew healthy, you want them to have the amenities, everything that they need, but also the space to be, you know, themselves and be able to, you know, enjoy a little bit as well, too, and just feel comfortable,
yeah.
You know, and that's really it, too.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to have a good time then.
That's the idea. This is an industry once, you know, if you get into it, you tend to stay into it.
Yeah.
You know, and once you've done your crew gig and you love the industry, there's so many opportunities to rotate ashore and do other things off the boats.
Yeah.
And so that's what we want. We want to encourage that. We want to take that experience that you've gotten being at sea, which is so valuable. And then don't throw that away. Don't let it go somewhere else. Keep it in the industry. Bring it back in and turn that into new products, new services, new ideas, you know.
Sure.
And there's where the magic comes.
Sure. So what are the next steps here? What, any podcasts coming up that you have planned? Or?
Yeah, I've got a good friend of mine, Captain Bob Kokorin, who lives in Malta.
Okay.
We go back a long way. He's been a very accomplished captain, and he and I are going to sit down tomorrow and have a really wonderful conversation while we're here in Monaco. And we're going to be talking to a lot of people leading into the Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. I've got Captain Sandy Yon coming on from Below Decks, and
okay.
A dear friend of mine who watched her career start when she was working with the boys at Trinity Yachts and getting her first gigs and the first big boats under her belt, which is kind of fun. And then we'll be back later this year in the Netherlands for the Superyacht Forum in Metz, and we'll certainly be having some very interesting conversations there as well.
So what platforms can the viewers watch you on?
Well, I'd like to say all of them. What we're doing right now, everything we do on my show is live in person. I don't do it virtually. So sometimes we have to wait a while to get in the same spot geographically at the same time to make it happen. But I think it's a better conversation
that way. It's more natural.
Yeah, more, you know, you can do stuff like this.
Have some fun and relax and just get to know.
But you'll see all of our video versions on both Instagram and YouTube.
Okay.
And all of the audio platforms.
And that's Yachting USA.
Yachting USA. You can either find us through Yachting International Radio.
Okay.
And if you go there, you'll see the Yachting USA podcast, and you'll see all the different.
And how many different, you know, channels are there on the International
Radio? We're up to about 22 on the network right now.
Okay.
It's interesting watching the organic growth and the voices that are coming on board with us. It is organic, and, you know, it's very genuine. And what I'll say about Raya and Yachting International Radio is, for instance, when I started this, one of the things Raya told me was that this is yours, Rick. I'm not gonna tell you who you're going to interview or not. I'm not going to tell you what to say, how to conduct yourself. You do you. And so I can have these very honest and in-depth conversations, and it's not edited, it's not censored.
It's authentic. It's what you really feel is necessary.
Absolutely.
It's good.
Yeah. So that's the fun part of this. So I can take on subjects that maybe other people can't or won't because someone's pulling financial strings or whatever that looks like. And I sit in a space where if I think it's worth talking about, we'll talk about it. Yeah.
You know, you have to challenge the norm a little bit sometimes and, you know, think outside the box, be creative.
Those that know me know I like stirring the pot occasionally.
Yeah, you have to, you know, and it's would be boring if you didn't, you know. No one just wants to see all the
Well, I tell people too, I hope that every episode we put out has some value, has something that someone can take away.
Yeah.
You know, you should be able to listen to one of our podcasts and come away going, I didn't know that. I just learned something new. You know, I now know a lot more about that particular individual or that company or that product, whatever it looks like. And so that's also part of the give back, if you will, is the fact that the information we're talking about has relevance to all of our careers.
Awesome. Well, thank you, everyone. We're going to go have some more fun here in Monaco. Enjoy the day. And, you know, Rick, it was an absolute pleasure sitting down with you today.
What a treat to catch up with here in this side of the pond.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the conversation. And I guess until next time,
yeah,
we're out of here.
We'll see you soon. Thank you.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.